So, I'm going to present, I would say, a sketch of the theory of electron glass and intrinsic electron glass, just very general model of localized electronic states interacting with each other. That's a very difficult problem, actually. I worked on it many years. I had two BSF grants on that. First was successful. And the second, I didn't write anything at all. Because when I went to it, I think that it's a thing that you can do byte by byte. But that's not the case when you can do byte by byte. You can swallow this rock, piece of rock itself, because it needs some new ideas. And some of such idea I would like to propose, which looks like idea and not worked out in all details, but nevertheless, that I want to share with you and listen to your comments.
Just click on full screen.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. So I'll start with historical introduction, describe my model, and I should give some introduction, including the theory of the interaction that was created by Boris Shklovsky and myself during many years. And there are pretty simple stuff there. And there are not that simple stuff that I should especially speak about. Even for those who are familiar with it, not very easy stuff. And the main idea is what I want to show, what I want to present, is that glassy properties are connected with formation of the dipole glass in this system. Very close and very analogous to spin glass, but electric dipole glass. Okay. So the term electron glass has been presented in 1982, but David Slee and Rice, they were based upon two ideas. First idea was incorrect. They thought that there is a so-called Anderson-Edwards criteria similar to spin glass in this system, which is actually absent.
Parameter.
Water parameter, yeah. Water parameter, yeah. Which is actually absent in this system. So this idea was wrong. But second idea was analogy with spin glass, which I think is a good idea. So the term belongs to those authors.
Analogy to spin glass in terms of relaxation, right?
Terms of relaxation, yeah. Glass is relaxation, first of all. Glass is, first of all, assume long relaxation. Then there was a lot of experiment made by many group, but here we spoke about them many times. It was granular films, starting with Atkins, Radiahu, Goldman Group, Grinnell Group, Atkins, Goldman Group, Grinnell Group, and indium oxide, started by group by Professor Radiahu. Also, there were some theories. Theories should be divided into two classes. One theory was extrinsic. They assume that this long element is something else than those electrons, say atoms, or traps, or something like that. I would call it extrinsic, and probably everybody does this. Extrinsic glass. And the second model is the model which assumes that there is nothing but localized electrons. And actually, I don't see any real experimental proof which glass people observe, but I'll speak only about intrinsic system, just system of localized electrons. I'll consider standard model, which consists of, here I take feeding factor on the lattice 1/2, but it doesn't matter, here may stay k, any letter. Phi I are random energy, which are in the range minus d plus d, and I'll introduce dimensionless constant a, that's the ratio of d to interaction on the nearest sides. And density of states, GO of non-interacting electrons, that will be important for me. L is in the lattice constant in the system with disorder, just average cost, average distance between sides. In the lattice model, it's lattice constant. Now, there are a few conditions, two important conditions of stability, the system, condition of the ground state. The first condition is that the first derivative delta H over delta Ni, which is epsilon I, and physical meaning is the energy of a site creating by random potential of phi I of non-Coulomb nature, and all Coulomb potential created by all other sites. It plays important role. And there is a criteria stability that if Ni is 1, then at zero temperature, there is a chemical potential mu such that if Ni is 1, then epsilon I less than mu and site is occupied. And if and then epsilon I less than mu, if Ni is minus I, it's empty. So there is chemical potential in this system. It's not a, completely not a quantum property. It's just classical property based upon Coulomb interaction in this case. So that Pauli principle doesn't play any role here. And second condition of stability is transition from site I to site j, which is given by this equation, and non-trivial term here is e square of rij, which actually very simple. It means that if I take a side from if I take electron from site I and bring it to chemical potential, it's by definition energy epsilon I. If I bring it back, it would be epsilon j if site epsilon I were empty, were occupied, but now it's empty and I have extra energy, extra attraction. Or in other words, it's excitonic effect. You may say like this. And from this it follows the density of states has depletion near the Fermi level, which in three-dimensional case has this form. And 3 over pi is actually self-consistent factor. Factor that follows from self-consistent equation. And the law C 1/2 follows from for Hopping, for variable range Hopping, follows immediately from this form of the density of states. This everybody knows, and I wouldn't stay on this. Width of the Coulomb gap is determined by condition that density of states of width delta equal to the width of free electron. So the picture looks like this. That's J, that's epsilon, that's Coulomb gap. And we use condition that A is much larger than delta, than the width of the Coulomb gap. So J of delta, J of delta is equal G O equal is equation for delta. And delta has such a form. Delta is very important thing because it's not only property of Coulomb gap and so on. And the first this probably Srinivasan was the first to establish a real meaning of parameter delta. Namely, it was before us, much before us. And this parameter has the following meaning, that if for sites with energy larger than delta, their occupation is completely determined by random energies phi I, and nothing more. And Coulomb interaction play a very small role, can be considered as perturbation. And inside this gap, it cannot be this way, and Coulomb interaction is extremely important, and perturbation theory violates very strongly near the Fermi level. The statement actually belong, I believe, to Srinivasan. This definition of delta. That's very important. Say I can illustrate it on an example of computer modeling that we did. This computer modeling show another interesting thing. Suppose that we have a Coulomb gap. And the question is some of sites of inside the Coulomb gap are occupied, some are empty. And suppose that we have a possibility to look at this picture in a few hours. And will occupation number the same inside the Coulomb gap or they will be completely different. And in what energy width? Assuming the temperature is much less than delta. Temperature is much less than delta. So in this experiment, we choose sites that are diamonds which inside the strip of the width 005. My temperature was also 005. Initially they were inside the strip. Then we play Monte Carlo game, thermodynamic Monte Carlo game, where we don't care about time, we ignore tunneling, and don't care about time at all. But thermodynamically it's correct game. We got a good Monte Carlo result, thermodynamic result, but we have no idea about how much time we play. Time does not enter in this game. So we can calculate conductivity, we can calculate any transport coefficient, nothing, just thermodynamics. And then we take distribution function of electrons that were at these sites initially. And this distribution function will have such a form. It will be smeared through all delta, though temperature is 005 in units of delta. Temperature is extremely low. And nevertheless, they will be smeared in the width of the order of the Coulomb gap. That's the same story, but this strip initial is taken not symmetric with respect to chemical potential. So all site was initially empty. Okay. So that's result that shows that there is a huge diffusion through the gap of electrons, but it may take a very large time. We know nothing about time in this experiment. And this diffusion occurs just in this region, in this strip of order of delta. Energy standard deviation is a function of site average energy. And you see that sites with small energy has a huge standard deviation of energy of the order of the all Coulomb gap, while sites that are outside the Coulomb gap has much smaller deviation. They are not divided as speak about them as an active site that really change their occupation, and about the sites that don't change their occupation, but their energy is changed due to potential created by those sites that change their occupation. Passive site. So all sites outside the Coulomb gap are passive site, and inside the Coulomb gap are active site. So actually, we come to important conclusion, very general conclusion, that if we are going to speak about electron glass that has memory, this memory should be written by occupation number of electrons inside the Coulomb gap. That's keeper of memory. Coulomb gap is a keeper of memory. Distribution of electrons inside the Coulomb gap is a keeper of memory.
Hasn't you said opposite? You said that they are moving.
They are moving, but they may change. They are moving very slowly, actually, and they have the occupation of site outside the Coulomb gap. The occupation of site the Coulomb gap always corresponds to all random energy and doesn't have any memory.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell that without Coulomb interaction there is no glassiness?
Is no glassiness. Say. That's what I want to say for as a result. Say, for example, if we have MOD transport, we shouldn't have any memory dip. Pure MOD transport is transport of free electrons, and we shouldn't have any memory dip.
Most of other glassy systems don't have Coulomb interaction. They have window glasses, short-range interaction.
Yes, but I speak about.
No. But from what you are telling, is that looks like fundamental principle that there is no glassiness without long-range interaction.
No, I don't speak about long-range interaction.
We don't have Coulomb gap when interaction.
Coulomb gap is not important. Important is that just interaction between system. In this case, it's Coulomb gap, and interaction is only reside within the Coulomb gap. Short range and long range, I don't speak that it's important.
No, if it is not Coulomb interaction,
yes.
There is no true gap, then you have more...
Coulomb gap is not important. Nevertheless, you still have problem near the Fermi level.
My question is, do you think that if there is no square root law in exponent, then there is no glassiness? If it is 1/4 or 1/3, then there is no glassiness? Or it's not the case?
If the system obeys this model, I don't understand any glassiness without T1/2, if indeed this condition is fulfilled, if A is large.
No, just question. Suppose we have two-dimensional system of electrons and apply gate. Because of the gate, at large distances, it's not Coulomb interaction, but dipole interaction. There is no true gap. There is some constant.
True gap is not important. Whether it's true gap or not true gap. Yes, I think that gate, that very small gate that kill Coulomb gap completely, not that it's zero, should kill memory also, because it's decreased interaction.
When it kills 1/2, there will still be
still will be memory, I think, yeah. But pure MOD
temperature.
Hmm?
If you have finite temperature, therefore you have some finite screening, it will sort of eliminate the glassy behavior.
No, actually, you have finite screening, but the screening has very large radius, so it doesn't eliminate glassy behavior, I believe.
So we need to just fill the very bottom.
Yeah.
But again, maybe the long time of the curve of the relaxation should, according to what you say, become shorter when you increase the temperature.
May happen.
Maybe
the scenario may happen yet. Yes.
When you say that the rearrangements are given by this moon, the guys who are close to the gap, this you are at zero temperature and at longish time, so that you still have some, because at zero.
It's not zero temperature. Temperature should be somewhat
small. So what you're saying is that at very small temperature, only things that have a small look and feel will move, which is okay. Yes. The others have already moved and
small temperature may create very strong transition, and I'll explain why, by the way, in the next step. There is another branch of excitation, and that's probably most difficult thing, and I'm going to talk about it. Actually, probably the most difficult thing for understanding of all this story is that most difficult thing for understanding all this story is existence of two different energy, energy of transition and energy epsilon, and the fact that difference of energy epsilon doesn't correspond to the energy of transition. That's probably the most non-trivial thing that gives us some result. Let's consider two sides, one and two. Two is filled, and one is not filled. And all other sides create the same potential on those two sides. Then it's obvious that the energy to transfer electron from this side will be zero. However, their epsilon will not be zero. We can easily calculate this epsilon from condition that this is from condition that epsilon 2 consists of energy of other side and energy of side 1, and this consists of energy of side 2. These energies are not zero. One of them is epsilon 2 is occupied, it's somewhere here, if R12 is small, and some of them is somewhere there. Nevertheless, transition between them gives you zero energy. And this creates another branch of excitations, which we call dipole excitations. Excitations with very low energy. Density of states of this excitation is just GO, it's constant. And it doesn't have Coulomb gap. So amount of such site is, amount of such excitation is large. And if we see on the picture itself, we'll find out that was actually our point always, the excitation inside the gap are responsible for variable range transport, variable range hopping, and dipole excitations are responsible for all thermodynamics of the system and for high frequency absorption of light, for all this stuff. So they play completely different roles. Those excitation and this excitation. Now it's very important that this excitations, dipole excitations, are strongly interacting. And if we calculate polarization created by these excitations in electric field, we'll find situation of polarization catastrophe. Indeed.
Neglecting the interaction,
yeah. Indeed. Density of states of this excitation F capital is GO, and typical scale of this excitation is E square over delta, typical size of this excitation. From these two equations, it follows just the simple identity. because RO also connected to through GO, trivial identity. Now number of dipoles with excitation energy less than energy of the field will be approximately this. 2 pi comes from angle averaging.
So this is for 3D only?
This 3D, yes, I'm speaking now about 3D only. Now polarization will be this 2 over pi. I'm sorry, I wrote it later and forget it here. 2 over pi. So actually we have a situation of polarization catastrophe. Let me remind you what it is. If you have P equal QOE, and in our case QO is only 2 over pi, approximately, this number is approximate because the statement that the shoulder of this dipole is RO is approximate statement. It's about this. But there is some distribution of it, so its numbers is approximate. Now, the he using formula, usual formula, Clausius Massotti or Lorentz, will get that real high is looks like this, and when this denominator becomes negative or come close to zero, it's called polarization catastrophe. Yes?
So you're using Clausius Massotti, you said, right?
Yes.
But Clausius Massotti is derived for crystals, periodic arrangements.
Yes.
The system is field corrections
for sort of. Yes. That's also right. But nevertheless, in all cases, I speak about order of magnitude. Definitely such effect as polarization catastrophe exists, but it doesn't describe by exactly, may not describe exactly by Clausius Massotti. Of course.
I'm trying to say that even if you neglect interaction from the dipole, just bend on that somehow no attraction, which is what you call it. There's no denominator, so there's no divergence. Or negative, I guess.
So you say that just there is no repolarization field?
This repolarization field, you not even include here. Because this, you know, okay, well, maybe you can talk later.
Okay.
Technically, he's right, but I think Alyosha wants to say that interaction is strong.
Yeah, but it might be also minus or plus, whatever.
Yeah. He's not pushing for minus for plus.
Okay.
I think
No.
You are pushing for
instability. For instability.
There is also dipole gap somewhere.
Yeah. I'm speaking about strong interaction and about fact that the strong interaction, such a strong interaction, should lead to reorganization of all the system. So this approximation of free dipole is not good. That you should do something about it. And that's the main point, actually, of what I'm going to say, that result of this may be only dipole glass. Result of this reorganization maybe only dipole glass. It will be, of course, very slow reorganization because, first of all, nearest dipole will have proper configuration and form a cluster. Then it occurs that this cluster and another cluster are not in exactly correct situation and better to do with them something else, which takes a lot of time. So it will be a very long relaxation to create such a dipole. That's typical what people study, dipole glass. That
there is no conductivity associated with
it. No conductivity. No conductivity associated with it, but there is another thing. There is another important thing. The claim is that conductivity in process of formation of dipole glass, conductivity will decrease.
I'm not understanding the statement about the glass. I'm saying that you know that the size, was it the height of the barriers for the arrangement of the dipole diverges with the size of the dipole? What glass means?
Glass means that you have some configuration of this dipole,
yes,
that changes very slowly, tending to the ground state.
Okay, very slowly means what? That the time is divergent with the size of the dipole?
Size of the dipole is fixed, actually.
Oh, that
the size of the cluster.
Size of the cluster, yeah.
The time is divergent?
Yeah, I think so. I think, yes. In any finite system, it's still finite.
I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I understand, but you are saying that the height of the barrier which I need to overcome in order to rearrange the large cluster diverges of the size of the cluster.
Yes.
Okay.
The size of the cluster is proportional to sample size.
Yeah. Finally. That's what dipole glass, as I understand what it is, and that's what I understand is the spin glass. It's the same, but instead electric dipole, you have magnetic dipoles.
So does it affect the conductivity?
Yes, positive effect of conductivity. When we use any other condition of equilibrium, say equilibrium with respect to electrons, any other condition of equilibrium make Coulomb gap deeper, because after all the first condition gives only inequality that Coulomb gap should be not larger than epsilon square. And it can be larger than epsilon square. All next condition will make Coulomb gap deeper, and it means that it will make conductivity lower. But this condition will be fulfilled very slowly, so conductivity will change also very slowly.
I'm sorry, probably I'm missing something really simple. Mm-hmm. How come you can have a glass and not to have some kind of Edwards-Anderson parameter? If you have a divergence,
well, better look. I agree. The only thing I may tell you that Lev Yoffe give brilliant answer on this. Wait until he come and ask him.
I don't understand his answer.
I don't understand his answer, so I can't help you. Ask himself. But he can do a brilliant, very, very smooth answer, at least on this, exactly on this question. I ask him the same question, and he gives me the answer. Very smooth, in very smooth words, which I cannot penetrate, actually. Maybe you will succeed. What does it mean, actually? Why it happens? It happens because there is a strong interaction of dipole. Let's consider amount of dipole that have excitation energy in the bandwidth omega capital. the average distance between dipoles that are inside this energy omega can be found from this relation. So average distance is given by this equation. Interaction energy of nearest neighbor dipole, dipole-dipole interaction, is given by this expression. And using the identity that I wrote before, it's easy to show that it's of the order of omega. So their interaction is the order of energy of the transition of this dipole. So this dipole will have possibility to be excited itself without any excitation. They may appear itself with decreasing energy. That's another words for polarization catastrophe. Just another explanation. That interaction between dipole is strong interaction. That's what's written here is the main idea of what I'm going to say.
Probably just extremely highly excited state?
Yes, this excited, the energy should be much smaller, should be smaller than widths of the gap delta. But it may be smaller, say five times, delta over five, something like that, the energy of this.
No, what I want to tell is that if we will consider atoms and put them randomly, then and let them interact, then that energy would be huge. But it doesn't mean that near the ground state we have necessarily glass, not fluid. I mean, why this means anything about low energy states?
Because this omega may be small, and in any small omega, situation will be the same. The interaction between them will be of the order of this omega.
No, what you want to tell, only one thing, that these dipoles are very strongly correlated. But does it mean necessarily that we have a glass, not a fluid, not something that can rearrange in external field in the end?
I think
it's motion, so that becomes very slow.
It does not follow directly from the instability of this state.
Yeah, Boris, but I explained that it that this dipole will be connected with this dipole. This dipole will be connected with the next dipole, so they will form a cluster. This cluster may be not good. In the other form, in other place, there will be another cluster. The difference between liquid and glass, I believe, is just the slow time of relaxation.
No,
kinetic.
I just don't understand how it follows from the previous, that it is slow, not fast. Because we need to about low energy states, not about this state where they are not correlated, which is presumably extremely highly excited state.
All states that are above the Coulomb gap are not correlated, and there is nothing there. The typical energy will be less than width of the Coulomb gap, but not much less. And that's the binding energy of the system. Now, since you have electron transition and the system is not liquid, it's pretty much dissolved. They are pretty far from each other. So each transition is slow, and transition of cluster is very slow.
So So what is beyond the catastrophe that you're talking about? Is that a conductor or something like a ferroelectric or what?
It's ferroelectric, yeah. It's ferroelectric. The dipole doesn't conduct. So it's ferroelectric.
It's a ferroelectric.
Ferroelectric, yeah. Disordered ferroelectric.
You understand correctly, you picture correctly that there are two types of electrons. Those who conduct, and then these electrons are located in the stripe of energy, which is basically mod, and the following to mod derivation. And those in these two level systems, they are completely different electrons. They form Coulomb gap partially, but don't contribute to conductance. And if yes, if this is a picture, what is the borderline? How do you divide this?
Well, the number of electrons that are participating in the Coulomb gap is much less than the total number of electrons in the Coulomb gap. That's the separation.
The separation between Coulomb gap width and temperature, right?
Coulomb gap temperature is much less than Coulomb gap width.
And this fraction is a ratio between temperature and Coulomb gap.
No, it's not. It's more or less this. Yeah. All right. Next.
So now you're saying basically that the pseudo ground state. Mm-hmm. That is now lowered by many electron transitions.
But many electron transitions. Yeah. Actually, that's what I say. Now, I want to say a few words finally about the memory dip. Memory dip was observed in majority of these experiments. And this is taken from experiment of Professor Avadiaho. And I want to say how I think one should calculate the width of this memory dip or the number of electrons that's necessary to add to the system so that the system would forget about cooling at this point, that it was cooled. My understanding is that you should add such amount of electrons or hole that are able to form their own infinite cluster. Those new electrons at holes has never been cooled, and they are not connected to this strongly correlated system. That's just electrons that has never been cooled and don't know anything about the previous cooling. Now it occurs that the that will be, by the way, answering your question also. That it depends on the mechanism of conductivity. As I told you, I don't believe that in real mod conductivity there is any memory dip. So I would consider conductivity inside the Coulomb gap. I don't know other mechanism of Hopping conductivity in such a system. By the way, conductivity and observed effect of glassiness are completely different thing. Say in a film, Hopping conductivity may be two dimensional, while still configuration of dipole will be three dimensional because size of dipole is small. So it's completely different stuff. In this case, conductivity just plays the role of measuring device for the glassiness. But I would say that from my point of view, the width of the memory dip reflects the property of this measuring device, because it depends on the mechanism of conductivity. So I think that the number of electrons is just the number of electrons that we should add to the system is, or we may calculate Vj through this number of electrons just through capacitance of the device, doesn't matter. We may speak about Vj, we may speak about number of electrons. Number of electrons is more physical from my point of view. Number of electrons should be just that number that permits to create a new network, infinite cluster, consisting of electrons and holes that are not know, that they don't know about previous cooling. When we do it, we forget about this cooling. When we come back, we will remember, because the keeper of memory is all Coulomb gap. And number of electron creating infinite cluster is much less than number of electrons in Coulomb gap. If we add amount of electrons comparable with all widths of the Coulomb gap, we erase the memory. And when we come back, we'll see nothing. And we should start procedure of cooling from the very beginning. That's my understanding of.
Can you get dielectric catastrophe in two dimensions?
No, in two dimensions not, because in two dimensions dipole-dipole interaction in this case is critical. In two dimensions dipole-dipole interaction is weak.
How does it apply to the experiments of
That's what I want to tell, that conductivity may be two-dimensional, while Coulomb gap that consists of dipoles may be three-dimensional.
But I think the biggest cluster you can just interact is the width of the layer, no?
Yes, but it's a condition that Hopping conduction is two-dimensional is length of hop should be much larger than the width of the film.
Let's see about this width of this condition of destruction. I'm curious, you know the answer.
Sorry?
I want to know what you must start with. How many electrons I have to add in order?
Yeah. I'm on the way. So, the width near the Fermi level, where those electrons are, is TTO 1/2, because exponent is TO to T 1/2, so we multiply both by square root of T and get quasi Arrhenius, and this will give us a width. That's the width. Now we should calculate number of electrons using Coulomb gap, three-dimensional Coulomb gap. And this will give us this.
Are you sure for the ED it looks like WQ?
W?
Isn't this calculation two-dimensional? Check power of T.
Ah, that's two-dimensional, yeah. That's two-dimensional calculation, yeah.
For three-dimensional?
Yes, of course, Coppin conduction is two-dimensional, yeah. I arranged it on three experiment.
Okay, but
Coppin, yeah.
Well, everything is three-dimensional, it will be
T3
halves.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yes, you're right. So, this should be this width if you are near the metal, psi tends to infinity and the width will disappear. If your temperature tends to zero, it should shrink out. That's this result. I know that it doesn't correspond to many experiments, and I am not surprised because nobody observed 2.5. And it's seriously based upon mechanism of T1/2. This calculation is seriously based upon this mechanism. So
I do observe in some cases.
The
amorphous material, it is T1/2. So, but in other systems, it's something else. And but the glassiness effect are very similar. So cannot be dependent so much on the precise mechanism for Hawking, whether it is
I think it's no I think that no I think that,
that it doesn't
no I think it does depend and very strongly say in activation mechanism it should be quite different.
We observe Arrhenius Moyne conductivity and glassiness in the same sample. What shall we do about that?
I don't know.
No, but I'm still waiting for this number of electrons. How many electrons we have to put in order to kill it? No, this is, I don't know. I would like to have some numbers or something, you know.
To have number, you should give me localization lengths.
No, I can give you that, that's no problem.
Hmm?
I can give you everything.
That's a problem. Actually, that's always a problem between you and me.
No.
What's the localization lengths? How to extract it from your hopping?
From that's not the problem. But let me tell you something. You know, if you go to low density, amorphous in your cell, then we can actually at least partially keep this memory by putting electrons by the gate, okay? But then, if you go to high density, if you go with granular aluminum, which is much higher density, then no matter how many electrons you can push in, you don't even begin to affect the memory. So that's the problem.
To understand this problem, Tzvi, I told you many times, and may repeat again, that Hopping conductivity and all this stuff doesn't contain such thing as concentration of electrons. The depths of the sea of localized electrons does not matter at all. Everything happened near Fermi level. So when you increase your electron density, you simultaneously increase disorder because you are still in the regime of Hopping, though your conductivity is metallic. So you
would say that if you change the density, you change density of states. And that even though the states are...
In what direction, I don't know, because I don't know what you change stronger, disorder or density of electrons.
That can be measured, actually.
Okay.
On
So the main thing that I want to tell you is that the Clase effect in a system of localized electrons can be connected with formation of the dipole glass, very similar to spin glass. Now, another thing that I want to tell you, maybe it's important, that conductivity is not a good way to measure glassiness, DC conductivity. That I hope that there will be a big move if we come from measuring conductivity to measuring the electric properties of the material. They also should have, if I'm right, they also should have glassy effects, and this is primary source of glassy effects. I remind you that Don Monroe and Kastner observed glassiness, logarithm t, logarithm time, dependence, in gallium arsenide at millikelvins. So it means that in conventional semiconductors, which are which has as in terminology of C very low concentration density, and correspondingly in my with my correction that corresponding to very, very low disorder. So as compared to his, because the larger electron density you have, the more disorder you should have to go into localization regime. This is observed at very low temperature, but in such materials, probably it will be observed not at low temperature. And I think that study, experimental study of the electric properties, say very good beginnings, what in recent experiment of Zwie in infrared. That was very good beginnings, because this is just the way to depolarize dipoles by this absorption and violate all this construction of the glass. And then you should have again relaxation. I think that if such type of experiment should be also contain frequency dependence, that will be very interesting. I'm done, people. Taking your criticism. Yes?
I would like to understand your picture. What is the reason, in your view, that in standard semiconductor like silicon MOSFET, like gallium arsenide, you don't see any of this effect? No semiconductor shows this effect. What is your view?
I think that.
And before you answer, let me add to that.
Mm-hmm.
That it cannot be the fact that it is strictly 2D, because.
No. I think that, look again, that Don Monroe observed glassiness effect in gallium arsenide.
I don't believe this is Furthermore, this was done, the relaxation time in his case, if we compare it with the relaxation time that we are talking about, we're talking about less than 1 second.
Maybe he didn't wait low enough.
No.
There is no in his plot, logarithm it does not end.
You believe that it was very A, it was very small. B, he never saw a memory dip, right? So there was no memory dip in his experiment.
Maybe he didn't try.
A conductor that shows memory dip, although all of them as a gate that they can play with, and none of them show a memory dip. So please explain that. Why no semiconductor shows memory dip?
Okay.
Because we know
maybe you will
the alpha and zeta of this effect.
Maybe you will tell me who tried to do that.
Well, I can tell you who tried to do that. Who? That I can tell you very well. Dragana Popovich.
Okay. Oh.
She will be here. Okay. You can talk to her directly. And unfortunately, there is another guy that died. So you know very well.
Savchenko.
He said that nothing like that exists. Told me several times.
Look,
every time I do the show,
look, Tzvi.
He asked me, why don't we think
in semiconductor? Look, Tzvi, yes, it's right, it's a difficult question indeed. I understand that. But in my understanding, the width of the Coulomb gap is small, and all these effects are much smaller.
Excuse me, they see very well, in some cases, t to the 1/2. So this is
that's okay, but nevertheless, to observe this logarithm, Don Monroe, whom you don't believe, need millikelvins. Why you see it at helium?
Yeah, and so all the other eight different systems that have nothing in common except for the high carrier concentration. High density of states.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
But I insist that high density of state, not high concentration, because in Hopping conduction, density of states is reliable. Density of states consists of two factors: concentration and disorder.
I don't know really how they can see a curse in these standard semiconductors, because as long as they change...
You still can. Because you still can, I'll explain to you how.
Let me finish.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. As soon as you change the gate voltage by a few volts,
yeah.
Then you induce a larger...
You don't have to change it by a few volts. But you finish. I know what you are saying. You don't know, right?
When you change the gate voltage, then very soon you make a large change in the carrier density, whereas in our case, we believe that the fraction of carrier we induce is negligible compared to the one which is already present.
So you are now repeating what we said in our paper in 93. That's not really important.
Yeah.
Because you can still see the antipolar reaction. Just reduce the gate voltage, and you should see after the first drop due to this gate of carrier, you should also see the slower
reaction. Let me ask experimentally, because maybe I misunderstand something. What's
the problem?
I heard many times from people like Kudala that if you take silicon MOSFET and cool it and measure mobility, then mobility at given voltage depends on the history.
Yeah.
Of cooling. Now, isn't it the glassiness effect?
It is, but this is extrinsic. This probably...
How do you know?
Well, how do I know? Because, for instance, it depends on the protocol that you use. In case of Dragana, for instance, what happens? That if she first cools the system, and then she changes the gate voltage, then she sees low relaxation. However, if at high temperature, she changes the gate voltage, and then cools the system, there is no slow relaxation.
No, but this is exactly what means field cool versus zero.
Oh, no. I mean, that means that maybe there is something else that changes, okay? And this something else.
No, but what do you mean something else? Not electrons, but positrons, or what?
No, it would be for instance. Difference in the spacer that separates the gate from the conducting channel.
No.
Some things there may have glass.
No, but what did you say? I want to tell that localized states in the insulator are also electrons, and glassiness there is also glassiness.
Yeah, but we are talking about intrinsic means that at least, maybe this is not realistic, but at least in theory you may think that the potential where the electrons reside is completely stationary, okay? And still, you will have this slow dynamics coming just from the electrons themselves. That's at least the theoretical.
Now let's discuss later, but I don't
understand. No.
Boris, what do you say about the, I'm just curious, about the Dirac centers in gallium arsenide, you know, which can live?
No, no, but it's not only about long living. What Glasenus is kind of centers is, you know, unique thing which requires terribly long relaxation for a certain reason. But what we want, spectrum of relaxation times. If you wait for long enough, the excenters all will relax with certain exponent, but in glass it is something different. I mean, I'm not a big expert in this. There are definitely more experts.
They are distributed somehow.
Yeah.
The decay rates are distributed. Yeah. You know, maybe the limit between what is glassy, what is not glassy, is not that sharp.
Yeah.
Oh, mathematically it's very sharp.
Yeah.
It's a Paul Dirac's cut.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, I just asked this statement about absence of glassiness in semiconductor systems. I just would like to understand it.
I'm saying there is no memory thing. Okay. No memory difference. That should be. It should be possible if it exists. It should be possible to see experimentally in semiconductor.
But other memory, other long relaxation effects, you're not.
You can have slow relaxation, and you see. You can immediately see the sign of something which is not intrinsic. If you take a silicon MOSFET in one laboratory made by some person. It has the same resistance as the, and measured at the same temperature as another one in a different laboratory. One shows slow relaxation, one does not. Then it is not possible that it would be intrinsic. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Let's discuss later. Okay.
Well, I have another question. At the end of the day, if the memory is in the glass, in the dipolar glass, or in the electrons in the Coulomb glass?
The memory is in dipole glass.
Oh, at the beginning you said that it's in the electrons that are in the Coulomb gap.
No.
That's what I understood, but then I was wrong.
No, the memory is in the glass, in the orientation of glass. How far glass is, how good a dipole glass is oriented. That's glass. Conductivity changes, but changes very small, few percent, as you know.
No more questions.